From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
This week on School Talks, we have a really neat mix of school-related guests, including Cheryl Muscat, Senior Development Director of School Engagement for the American Heart Association, Dr. Ryan Rowe, Washtenaw County Career Technical Education Director, and from Chelsea School District, Superintendent Mike Kapolka. And rounding out today's program will be some thoughts from me to consider about why we educate children based on their age. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us on the program now is Cheryl Muscat, Senior Development Director of School Engagement for the American Heart Association. Cheryl brings to the program arguably one of the most important aspects to a child's life, and that is their health. Specifically, their heart health. Welcome to the program, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Yes, thanks for having me today, Dr. Livernoy.
So, in your role as Senior Development Director, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm so excited for this opportunity to talk about the American Heart Association and our school programs. I'm not sure if I ever shared this with you, but I actually grew up in the Warren Consolidated School District. So I went to Searsma Elementary, moved over to Beer Middle School, and graduated from Warren Mott High School. I had such a great experience in Warren Con, so thank you for that, and thank you for having me today on your show.
I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
So how long have you been at the Heart Association?
Yeah, so after college, I landed my career here at the American Heart Association, and I've never looked back. It's been 20 years. I just celebrated my 20th anniversary working with school engagement team in Michigan and supporting schools all across Macomb County.
Wow, 20 years at the Heart Association. You must really love what you do.
I absolutely do.
So, most important, tell us about the mission of the American Heart Association and your role as it relates to school engagement.
Sure. So, the mission of the American Heart Association is to be a relentless force for a world of longer, healthier lives. We actually just celebrated our 100th anniversary this year. And for the last 100 years, the American Heart Association, along with our volunteers, our supporters, our collaborating organizations and schools, we have all worked so hard to build longer, healthier lives. And there's no letting up in the next 100 years as we remain devoted to a future of health and hope for everyone and everywhere. And in school engagement, we are committed to doing just that through our Kids Heart Challenge and our American Heart Challenge programs.
I can tell you, in my time as superintendent, our children in Warren Consolidated jumped a lot of rope.
Yes.
A lot
that's
of
awesome.
Rope. So on that note, tell us about the Kids Heart Challenge and the American Heart Challenge specifically.
Yeah, sure. So for 47 years, the American Heart Association has been partnering with educators in elementary, middle, and high schools across the nation to help educate students about healthy living. The Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge are service learning-based fundraising programs that give students the opportunity to feel good while doing good. It's a way for students to better their life, all while changing someone else's. So we have students, families, and staff that will learn valuable skills through Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge, including the importance of taking care of their hearts. But not only in a physical way, also in an emotional way. So they'll learn the importance of exercising, eating healthy, living tobacco-free. But they'll also then learn the importance of being a good leader in their classrooms, being kind to one another, and helping others in need. And that's what the students are doing when they participate in Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge. Not only are they learning about their own health and wellness, but they also have the opportunity to collect donations for the American Heart Association to help others who have been affected by heart disease and stroke. In fact, I actually have a letter here that I would love to read to your audience about Preston. Preston is one of our Heart Hero survivors from St. Clair Shores, and Preston was chosen last year as a local ambassador for the American Heart Association. And we were able to share Preston's story and his letter with all the schools across Macomb County. Do you mind if I share his letter with you guys?
Just purely coincidental. I grew up in St. Clair Shores,
all right.
And I would love if you do. Please share.
Awesome. Thank you. So Preston's letter says, "My name is Preston, and I had open heart surgery when I was just 4 months old. Congenital heart defect hearts are only mended as there is no cure, and that is what makes your donation so important. This is a lifelong battle, and without your support, research and progress cannot be made. Every dollar is making a difference, a life-saving difference. Thank you, thank you, thank you, El Kappa Warrior Preston J. So when Preston shared his story, or when I was able to read that letter to all of the schools that participate in Kids Heart Challenge, students really resonated with Preston, and it helped them to understand the importance of giving back to others in need. We have ambassadors like Preston all over the state that need our help, and that's why it's so important to have as many schools as possible involved in our Kids Heart Challenge and our American Heart Challenge program.
What a great story. And from a school perspective, why should a school participate in these challenges?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, because the need still exists. I mean, heart disease is still the number one cause of death in the U.S. 40,000 babies are born each year with congenital heart defects, just like Preston. And you heard in Preston's letter that his heart has only been mended and it will never be cured. So that means Preston's going to need, you know, help as he gets older. He's going to need new medicines, new surgeries, new procedures to help him live a long and happy, healthy life. So we hope to continue to fund that research to help kids like Preston.
So as a school, what are some of the benefits when they participate in these challenges?
Yeah, so we have so many benefits to our schools. When they participate in Kids Heart Challenge and an American Heart Challenge, they'll have access to all of our educational resources. That includes topics like teamwork, kindness, anti-vaping, positive thinking, sleep, STEAM, physical activity. I mean, the list goes on. Students will also take heart-healthy challenges during the program, and they'll learn how to make healthy lifestyle choices to improve their mental and physical well-being. Our high school students that participate can earn volunteer hours. They have an opportunity to apply for scholarships. Schools can apply for grant opportunities through our programs. Schools can earn money back to purchase new PE equipment for their schools. The volunteer at the school that actually coordinates the program can earn up to 12 sketchy hours through the state. But I would say, like, the most important benefit of Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge is that your staff, students, and families will have the opportunity to learn hands-only CPR.
Wow. You know, CPR is near and dear to me. About 40 years ago, I actually, through CPR, saved my boss's life.
Really?
While I was a student at Wayne State University, taking a first aid class.
Oh, my gosh.
So that hit home. That hits home for me,
yeah.
Certainly. Joining us on the program right now is Cheryl Muscott, Senior Development Director of School Engagement for the Heart Association. So among all these benefits, I really like the CPR component. And can you tell us a little bit more about that initiative, just given how important it is?
Yeah, I'd love to. So when schools participate in Kids Heart Challenge or American Heart Challenge, they complete something called FINS Mission. And so when they do that, students, staff, and families will learn the life-saving skill of hands-only CPR. Our hope through this initiative is to create a nation of lifesavers rather than a nation of bystanders, which is kind of where we're at right now. 90% of people who suffer a cardiac arrest outside of a hospital will not survive. CPR, especially if performed immediately, can double or triple a cardiac arrest victim's chance of survival. So we want to double the survival rate of cardiac arrest by 2030 through increased cardiac emergency response plans, which we can help in your schools, help implement that stuff through Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge. And we just want to help educate more people in CPR and AED use in our communities.
And it certainly makes me appreciate why schools continue to participate in this year after year. Why do you think it is?
So many schools, I feel like, would say that Kids Heart Challenge and American Heart Challenge is probably the most fun day of the school year. Many schools have made Kids Heart Challenge a tradition at the school. And students, when they walk in on that first day of school, they're going to ask when Kids Heart Challenge is. And they just really enjoy it. So it brings the community together and it really engages everyone at the school in something fun. It's also very flexible and anyone at the school can successfully implement the program.
So if a school were interested in learning more about this, what should they do?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, first off, give your AHA rep a chance to learn more. You know, we make visits and calls to all of our schools across the state starting this week. So when we walk in, you know, we're just looking for 10 to 15 minutes of your administrator's time to learn more about your school, to learn more about their health and wellness goals for the year, and to see how the AHA can support your efforts. We don't ever want to make Kids Heart Challenge an extra thing that you have to do at your school. We want it to fit right into the lessons that you're already doing. And that's how it should should be. So, yeah. Fantastic.
Cheryl Muscat, Senior Development Director of School Engagement for the American Heart Association. Thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Yes, yeah. And I also want to say, too, that if they want to reach out to learn more, to please contact our VP of School Engagement, Amy Hobley. Amy will make sure to connect you with the correct rep in the area, and then that rep can then reach out and answer any questions. So Amy's information is amy.hobley@heart.org. Or you can visit our website at www.heart.org/get-started. So hopefully you'll reach out to Amy today and check out our website.
Easy to follow stuff. Thanks so much. And talk about information that goes straight to the heart. Coming up after the break, we'll be joined by Dr. Ryan Rowe, Washtenaw County Career Technical Education Director and Career Education Planning District Administrator, to share some exciting things they have done with the University of Michigan. You're listening to School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
Joining us on the program now is Dr. Ryan Rowe, Washtenaw County Career Technical Education Director and Career Education Planning District Administrator. Welcome to the program, Ryan.
Thanks for having me.
So in the world of career and technical education, there's some terms out there that relate to experiential and applied learning. And how are those terms related to opportunities for students?
Yeah, really, I see experiential and applied learning starting at the earliest age with students as early as preschool, learning about themselves, self-actualization. Do they like using their hands, being outdoors, working with computers, or helping other people? In middle school, students start to take that learning about themselves, their purpose and passion, and apply that to career exploration. So they may have an engineering class or a cooking or culinary class. By high school, there's so many different avenues for students to experiment and apply their learning, their purpose and passion, such as advanced placement classes, dual enrollment, IB, and then there's certainly career technical education programs as well.
What a broad spectrum of opportunities for them. So what is the ultimate goal of having students participate in these learning opportunities, as you said, from pre-K through 12th grade? What do you refer to as a continuum of care for all students in Washtenaw? Tell us about that.
So we refer to it as a continuum of care because we believe that after 13 years of investment in a student or students, that they should approach the stage at graduation, high school graduation, empowered to confidently state their post-secondary plan, what their plan is at that point in time. And we know, maybe even personally, that our trajectory and careers may change over time, but every student deserves the opportunity to confidently state their post-secondary plan, whether that's college and or career, as they approach high school graduation. And certainly, we believe that over that continuum of pre-K through 12th grade, students should have experiential and applied learning opportunities to affirm they're on the right track with that plan.
You know, what an interesting contrast to the traditional view of vocational, where when you get in high school, maybe I'll take wood shop or metal shop or auto shop. And when you frame it through your lens of 13 years, that is a much different perspective of investment in children. And on that note, what types of classes are provided and what are the benefits of enrolling in those kinds of courses?
Yeah, so we have everything from cybersecurity IT to automotive to welding, healthcare careers and nursing, hospitality and tourism management, computer integrated manufacturing, and certainly some future focused programs now in career technical education with EV mobility, hospitality, tourism management, and aerospace. And I think many of the benefits are that students can work hands-on, whether that's in a hospital setting or with computers. They can explore those careers. They can earn certification. So if a student wants to earn their CNA certificate on their way to go to U of M or Michigan State or Wayne State for a nursing degree, they have a value-added certificate when they walk out of that class. Many students are looking to solve a societal problem. And so whether that's in healthcare or whether that's civil engineering, building bridges and building infrastructure, they look at the world, our students today look at the world differently, that they want to solve some of the problems that maybe they encountered as youth. Maybe the most important piece is that through experiential and applied learning, including CTE, students can learn what they want to do or potentially what they don't want to do before graduating and before burying themselves in debt. So these opportunities are free. They have an opportunity to immerse themselves in the culture of career technical education before they graduate high school.
Mm-hmm. And joining us on the program is Dr. Ryan Rowe here from Washtenaw County ISD. So Ryan, tell us a little bit about the consortium that you lead in the county and the districts involved with it.
Right. So really unique in Washtenaw County in that we have a South and West Washtenaw consortium that includes six districts. And then we have three districts that operate independently. We call those consortiums as well. So four consortiums that operate independently in Washtenaw County. Many different reasons for that systematically. And so we operate 63 different state-approved CTE programs, but it's within those four consortiums.
And tell me a little bit about the focal point when I think about experiential and applied learning for all students through pre-K through 12th grade. The consortium is really what feeds that. Does the consortium feed down into the elementary levels, or is it just high school through the traditional lens?
So really, when we look at the state-approved career technical education programs, those are open to 11th and 12th grade students mm-hmm. in Washtenaw County. But we have introductory level classes at the freshman and sophomore level, hopefully some exploratory classes at the middle school level, and then again, pushing down to as early childhood preschool so that students can not really talk about careers at that point in time, but really talk about self-actualization. What are they interested in so that when they do reach middle school, they can take their sense of awe, their mm-hmm. purpose and passion and what they enjoy and start to align that and connect that with potential career interests.
And you know, it leads to a question. Think of a high school student who has a passion for, say, auto shop, but their particular high school does not offer auto shop. How do they get it? It's fascinating to me. And I understand you were part of a plan to engage the University of Michigan to do a study to try to understand for students who has access to what. And I found this fascinating to engage a university to study this and provide you with the results, presumably to make improvements in access. Tell us about that.
Right. So the U of M Youth Policy Lab, we've had a great relationship with them for several years, and they've really worked with Michigan Department of Education, Office of Career Technical Education statewide. But they're in our backyard. And so when you have a great organization like this in our backyard, the Washtenaw Intermediate School District, along with the nine public school districts, commissioned the Youth Policy Lab from the University of Michigan to really investigate the current state of career technical education and experiential and applied learning opportunities in Washtenaw County. And so we are now utilizing those findings and recommendations, specifically those that pertain to the deeply inequitable access to CTE opportunities to, as you say, make improvements.
Fantastic. So by pulling the consortium together, you obviously gain all these efficiencies for students to access programs. Tell me a little bit about the superintendents in Washtenaw, their association. How did they begin this work?
Few years ago, the nine public school district superintendents, along with Superintendent Norman from the Washtenaw Intermediate School District, really recognized the disparities that exist in Washtenaw County regarding these opportunities. They did not want zip code to dictate destiny. And so when certain students in Washtenaw County have access to programs that are state-of-the-art and can lead a student to high school graduation, stating confidently their post-secondary plan, we believe that we should both expand and enhance these programs, but find a way that these 63 CTE programs that exist in Washtenaw County are open to all students in Washtenaw County in some way, shape, or form, and currently mm-hmm. that doesn't exist.
And that, in my experience, statewide, that seems a little bit unique to Washtenaw. Is that true?
Yeah, many different models of career technical education in the state of Michigan. Washtenaw County happens to be one career education planning district, one CPID, one region that does not have a funding model. So we do not have a vocational millage to support career exploration, CTE, experiential and applied learning opportunities. And so with that, we have not had a CTE center, nor do we plan to at this point in time, but we don't have a funding mechanism or a system in place to provide that equitable access. And a lot of time the funding goes along with that access.
Such as a countywide millage or something like that.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And a lot of places throughout the state of Michigan have had those for 30, 40 years since the old vocational days, and many have passed those within the last few years, knowing that if you're going to deliver state-approved CTE programs that are more expensive, often to run and prepare students for post-secondary, there has to be some funding mechanism in place.
You know, when I think about all of the attention nowadays on having your identity stolen and the cybersecurity programs you offer, and Lord knows it's hard to find a plumber. This is some really important work, and I want to thank you for joining us on the program today, and I wish you a great school year and continued efforts in expanding that access to all kids in Washtenaw ISD.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now on the program is Superintendent of Chelsea School District, Mike Kapolka. Welcome to the program, Mike.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Livernoy.
So it's a pleasure to have you here, and I'd love to hear you tell our School Talks listeners a bit about Chelsea Schools.
Absolutely. So the Chelsea School District is a vibrant and close-knit community just located about 15 minutes west of Ann Arbor. We serve approximately 2,300 students from young fives through grade 12. We offer well-rounded educational experiences that emphasize academic excellence, personal growth, and community involvement. So in addition to these strong academic programs, we offer 29 varsity sports, a K-12 robotics program, 6-8 career and technical courses, and a robust performing and visual arts program that includes digital photography, ceramics, studio arts, orchestra, band, and marching band. We do take immense pride in being able to offer such a wide variety of options for our students, empowering them to explore their passions, discover new talents, and to grow into well-rounded individuals prepared for whatever the future holds.
That's fantastic. And you know, one of the things that intrigued me about Chelsea Schools is your approach to a strategic plan. And I've known, like many complex institutions, schools have develop plans for a variety of reasons, whether it's to improve student achievement or decide what schools need to be renovated, or even difficult things like what schools should be closed or demolished and things like that. And in Chelsea Schools, with the ever-changing landscape for public schools, tell us about how you developed your strategic plan to respond to this incredibly dynamic environment.
Sure. So the CSD is deeply committed to fostering an educational environment that prepares students for 21st century skills. And our efforts are guided by a comprehensive strategic plan, as you just referenced, with the implementation of a portrait of a graduate. And this is work that we started in 2016. And it's a framework that reflects our dedications to student-centered learning, safety, and innovation. So our strategic plan is a cornerstone of our district's mission to provide a safe, nurturing, and inclusive environment. We completed the strategic plan in the spring of 24, and we rolled it out to our community actually just this past week. And it's something that we very much feel is the blueprint for us moving forward in the district.
Yeah, so you mentioned student-centered learning, safety, and innovation. Tell us a little bit about each of these three key areas.
Sure. With any strategic plan, the whole goal is to distill down multiple different paths. And we ended up coming up with three key areas, three different opportunities of stakeholder feedback. One is health and safety. So ensuring the physical and emotional well-being of our students and staff is absolutely our top priority. Our recent appointment of a director of safety and security, and then last year, a youth mental health coordinator underscores this commitment as we proactively enhance our safety protocols, and we will conduct a comprehensive safety audit across all of our facilities. So that's our first goal of emphasis. Our second is our portrait of a graduate. As I alluded to before, we're really dedicated to equipping students with the skills they need to thrive in an ever-changing world. This includes a focus on competence competency-based and experiential learning models. Aligning with our 21st century learning skills, the Portrait of a Graduate framework defines these competencies and attributes we aim to cultivate in every single one of our students by the time that they graduate from the Chelsea School District. These include critical thinking, collaboration, creativity, and adaptability, just to name a few. We started this work almost a decade ago and have reinvested into rebranding and emphasizing the competencies outlined from within our portrait. So the POG for us, as we call it by short, POG, it serves as a guiding star for our instructional approach, shaping both classroom practices and extracurricular activities. And last, quite simply, is engagement. We actively seek to involve our community in the educational process, ensuring that parents, students, and staff are engaged and empowered. Initiatives like our Why You Matter Wednesdays highlight our commitment to creating a positive school climate where every member of our community feels valued and heard.
You know, we've known for a long time that children who feel connected at school always do better. And I was intrigued by the Why You Matter initiative for the students in Chelsea. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, this is an initiative that's near and dear to my heart. So the Why You Matter initiative originally started as a school-wide public art campaign, and it was created by two art teachers, Gio Rutherford and Laura Narr, and one of our counselors, Jason Murphy, as well as a group of student artists back in 2017. It was conceived as a way to address a grieving school community after suffering from multiple student deaths. Name Why You Matter, the campaign really takes action to help students realize the importance of finding self-worth. Between 2017 and 2020, we created school-wide and district-wide art projects that focused on mental health and well-being of all of our students. Each project included an in-depth lesson to discuss topics including empathy, grief, empowerment, growth mindset, and purposeful learning. The positive impacts of this campaign included finding health services for dozens of emotionally struggling students, bringing our school district closer together by understanding each other more, and stimulating acts of kindness around our school and our community, which is really, really helpful. Since we began the Why You Matter project, we've worked with dozens of schools to help them begin their own powerful art public installation or art installation to address mental health and awareness. Starting this year, we're rebooting our Why You Matter campaign as it aligns perfectly with our health and safety priority goal. So on Wednesdays of every month, we're devoted to our Why You Matter Wednesdays with two goals in mind. One, for staff to wear their Why You Matter shirts so that students can visibly see a visual reminder of how much they actually mean to everyone. And then number two, to connect with our local community partners as they've provided supports to our district staff, like discounts at restaurants and passes to health and wellness in the community.
Yeah, what a fantastic awareness campaign. So in keeping with the community engagement theme, tell our School Talks listeners a bit about how you, what I think is really innovative, use your high school alumni with your current students. Tell us about that.
This was just, it was an awesome opportunity for us at the beginning of the school year to invite some of our graduates back and share with all of our district staff where they're at and the good, the bad, and the indifferent of the things that they experience in the Chelsea School District. So as part of our way to connect with the past and present, we hosted this alumni symposium during our district's opening day this year. Graduates from the classes of 2016 and 2017 showed how the skills they developed in Chelsea have shaped their postgraduate success. This event was moderated by Dr. Lumen Strong, who's a former assistant principal at the high school and recently retired. It was super well received, and it provided a powerful testament to the impact of our educational programs in our district.
And I'll tell you, as credible as adults can be in the lives of children, sometimes a recent graduate brings a whole different set of credibility to the table, especially if they're in a particular situation where many of the students think they're going to be. It's almost like here's the view from the trenches, which is totally different than in the minds of some kids saying, well, here's a bunch of adults telling us what to do. And I think that's really fantastic. So in that lens, the portrait of a graduate, how does it sort of roll back and affect school curriculum or instruction going on in the district?
Yeah, and that was a connection when we talked about rebooting our portrait of a graduate, our 2.0 version of it, is we wanted to create some action surrounding it in terms of what we do with our curriculum. So we've unveiled an innovation team that will lead the charge in integrating the portrait of a graduate into all aspects of our curriculum. So this team will explore new methods of instruction, including computational thinking, to ensure that our students are prepared for future challenges.
Fantastic. And, you know, like all schools in Michigan, school safety is at the top of the list just about for everyone. And tell us about Chelsea's recent safety audit. I thought this was pretty unique. Tell us about the audit and how it shapes your future.
Sure. We ended up going through a safety audit 3 years ago. We had a third-party group that came in and did a full district security audit for us. And then we had some action that came of that security audit, one of which we created a recent director of safety and security position for our district, which, again, brand new at the beginning of the year. And as I mentioned before, we coupled that and partnered it together with our youth mental health coordinator. And really, they'll be working in concert with our director of technology, as well as our director of operations, to do kind of a 2.0 version of the district safety and security audit, which will lead us into this upcoming year. And really, our goal is to create a learning environment that's both physically secure and emotionally supportive, so it ensures that all of our students and staff are feeling really good about themselves.
Fantastic. Superintendent of Chelsea School District, Mike Kapolka, thanks so much for joining us on the program today. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Livernoy.
All right. Coming up after the break, I'd like to share some thoughts with you about why we educate children by age, which has been going on for centuries. And with that, we'll be back after a word from our sponsors. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Point Moran Real Point, Collins and Blaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, and by Clark Construction. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
On a previous edition of School Talks, I made reference to educating children based on their date of manufacture. And it raises the question of, why is it that we educate children based on their age? Well, educating children based on their age has strong connections to the Industrial Revolution in America. Both the first and the second phases of our Industrial Revolution created many elements that we see in schools nowadays, such as you go to school for a certain number of minutes, the schedule is divided into certain hours of the day, students are often taught by subject matter and by grade level, and as such, by age. And when you look at the success of the industrialization of America, it's easy to see how those elements transferred into the public education system, largely due to the fact that both of them were expanding at relatively the same time. So it certainly made sense if we're able to industrialize the nation using these techniques, they most certainly should work just as well in a public school setting. Consider this. For many children, they tend to progress through predictable stages of cognitive development, as described by many child psychologists like Piaget and others. So grouping children by age helps ensure that curriculum is appropriate for their cognitive abilities. Being with peers of the same age helps them develop important social skills such as cooperation, communication, sharing, and most important, especially with young children, conflict resolution. So from a developmental perspective, educating children who are roughly the same age makes a lot of sense. From a more curricular perspective, an opportunity for educating children by age is anchored by how curricula is developed. For example, any age-based education allows for a standardized curriculum across a school or even a region like Southeastern Michigan or the state or even nationally. And this standardization ensures that all children receive a similar foundational education regardless of where they live. From a logistical perspective, in my years in education, I can tell you that schools are structured around age-based grades or classes, which makes things so much easier to organize, especially when you're managing large numbers of students in a school system. And for example, in an elementary school, if you have 3 or 4 or 5 classrooms of first graders, that in and of itself requires management as those children are all relatively the same age. Another logical practicality, shall we say, is classroom management. Teachers can much more effectively manage classrooms when students are at similar developmental levels, making it easier to plan lessons and address the needs of the group. Just consider, for example, having to teach a 15-year-old student in the same classroom as a 7-year-old. The gap in their intelligence and their social development would make it really difficult for teachers to effectively manage a classroom. From a legal and policy consideration, there are compulsory education laws. Many countries have laws that require children to start school at a certain age, which further reinforces age-based grouping. Another factor, equity and access. Age-based education helps ensure that all children have access to education at the same time in their lives, promoting fairness and equality in the educational process and the opportunities available for students. As I mentioned earlier, another, I think, a really important consideration is children of the same age often share common interests, cultural experiences, and challenges, which can make the peer interactions that much more meaningful and supportive. I can see on any number of occasions children on a playground who are relatively the same age engaging in a lot of the same activities, whether it's playing on the swing sets or kicking a soccer ball and whatnot. So children of the same age very often have common interests, which makes a lot of sense in promoting that socialization. As far as alternative approaches, while age-based education is the norm, some educators and experts advocate for more personalized learning approaches, which have really developed over time. And they consider things like individual readiness, particular student interests and abilities, rather than strictly adhering to age. For example, mixed age classrooms. Some of you parents out there or teachers may have had a child in what we call a 1-2 split, where you have children who are aged for first grade and second grade mixed into the same group. Whether there's some ability matching there, schools tend to use splits, as we say, to maximize efficiency. For example, if you have 11 first graders and 11 second graders, it's not very efficient to run a classroom of 11 in one grade and 11 in another, and with the opportunity to mix them together to create a reasonably healthy class size of about 22, that's where the mixed age classroom concept comes in, which is a little bit different than just age-based education. That concept's been around for many, many years. Some other alternative approaches, competency-based learning and individualized education plans are just a couple of others that aim to sort of cater to the unique needs of each child. However, these approaches can be substantially more challenging to implement on a large scale. So all things considered, educating children based on their age is a practical and effective way to address developmental needs, standardize education, and manage schools efficiently. Even though it's not the only way to structure education, it has worked for many, many years. And as I said, it's not perfect, but it certainly has produced an education system in America that has done a lot of good for a lot of children. I want to thank all our guests who joined us on the program today. We'll leave it there until next week. But remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this has been School Talks on 760 WJR.